He allowed Ben-Hadad to live and to keep working his mischief in Ahab's life. And Ahab, finally, he wants to do something about it, but he had made a mistake. And he didn't obey God's word. I tell you, we're going to get into his story in just a second. But it pays to obey God, no matter what. You know, we think, oh, that, you know, if I obey God, that's going to cause more trouble in my life. Let me tell you, if you don't obey God, trouble is going to come into your life more than what you think is already there. You think that, oh, you know, that's just going to be more work, that's going to be more problems. Whatever God puts in your life is worth so much more, because that's going to grow you. But when sin comes in your life, it will destroy you. There's a big difference in what God has to offer and what He's trying to do in your life and what sin is trying to do in your life. And sin wants to destroy you. God wants to grow you. And we're going to talk about how that is kind of working, what is going on in Ahab's life, and how that sin is working to destroy him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to ask for your blessings this morning. I pray for your Holy Spirit that you would just touch us. Help us to understand your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to grow and to see how we can apply to our life what we can learn from the life of Ahab and Jehoshaphat today. Lord, would you touch us as we dive into your scriptures, as we study your word. Let not the words that I say be my own, but let them be from your Holy Spirit, that you could touch your people here and grow us, Lord, by your grace and through faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we get to this point where Ahab, Ben-Hadad has not kept his promises. Syria still maintains control over all of the cities in Samaria. He didn't give them back like he promised. So Ahab has a meeting with Jehoshaphat. Now, something that's not really mentioned here that's going on between Jehoshaphat and Ahab, I don't think, am I on? Okay. Something that's not mentioned is that Jehoshaphat and Ahab have just allowed their children to marry. That's not listed here. It's in other portions. But Jehoshaphat allows his son to marry Ahab's daughter. And that doesn't work out good later on. But at this time, that's what's drawing these two kings together. That's the peace that has united these two nations at this time. So King Ahab, he invites Jehoshaphat over, and when Jehoshaphat gets there, he says, "Hey, these cities over here near Damascus in Syria, they're my cities. In Ramoth Gilead, they're ours. And that scoundrel Ben-Hadad, he still has my cities, and I want to take them back." And he turns to Jehoshaphat. He's like, "Jehoshaphat, are you with me? If I go and fight against Syria, would you be with me?" And he says, "I'm there." He says, "But first, let's talk to the prophets. Let's get God's guys in here and see what they say." So Ahab calls 400 of his prophets. Now, it's kind of misleading because it doesn't say who these prophets belong to. They belong to Baal. They're false prophets. They're false teachers. They're liars from the very beginning. And they assemble around and they start doing their little show and tell that they always do. Now, I do want to remind you that there's only 400 left because Elijah just took out 450. He took those guys out. So what's left is the 400 that didn't show up for Elijah's meeting that day whenever he called down fire from heaven. So these 400 guys, you see how not getting rid of your problems in the past keep coming back to haunt you in the future? Man, if Ahab had gotten rid of those prophets, if he had just invited them to God's party when he gave the fireworks, Ahab would have done a lot better, wouldn't he? So Ahab invites them, and they all get down there. They're saying, "Go, you got this. You're going to win." And one of them even makes makes horns out of iron, and he goes through. He's like, this is how you're going to win. You're going to be like a bull going through, and you're just going to bulldoze your way through it. And Jehoshaphat sees this show that they're putting on. And he's like, Ahab, don't you got a prophet of God around here? He's like, well, I do. But let me tell you something about that guy. He never prophesies anything good to me. You know what this prophet had prophesied to Ahab? He said, because you didn't kill Ben-Hadad, you didn't rid him out of your life is going to go for his. That's why Ahab didn't want to invite this guy to this advisory committee. And he's like, we'll go get him. So he sends a servant to get Micaiah. And the servant that gets him, on their way back, he leans over to Micaiah and he says, hey, I'm just letting you know, all the other prophets, they're talking good things to Ahab about what's about to happen, about the war that they want to do. And Micaiah, he's got some good advice for us. He says, I'm only going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to say what God tells me to say. And that's going to be the way it is. So they get there, and Ahab looks at it, Micaiah, and he says, Micaiah, should we go fight Syria? And Micaiah, it looks like a sarcastic remark in the scripture. He basically said, go and prosper. You're going to do all right. And he's like, and he can just tell Micaiah is just making fun. And he's like, how many times, Micaiah, do I talk to you and you only speak the truth? And he's like, I'll do that, Ahab. He said, I saw a vision. I saw a vision of God sitting on the throne and all the assemblies of heaven with him. And God asked, who will go and draw Ahab to fight in Ramoth-Gilead so that he can die, so he can perish? And in the vision, he says that there was one was saying this, one was saying that, and then one steps up and says, I will be a lying spirit to Ahab's prophets. And I'll get them to talk him into going up there to fight so that he can die. And then he says, all your people are going to be scattered. So what does Ahab do? He's like, Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you what that guy would say? He's not for me. He's against me. He only prophesies bad things. Micaiah was telling him the truth, and he wouldn't listen. He would rather hear the lie than hear the truth. And Ahab says, take this guy back, feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. Oh, I forgot to tell you. And then one of them says, and Micaiah says, you're not going to return in peace. And then all of a sudden, you know, the prophet of Baal that made the iron horns comes up and just slugs Micaiah. And he says, which way did the spirit go that told me to do that? And he said, you'll know. When you're hiding in a corner, scared to death because of what's going to happen to your master, because peace is not coming to Israel, Ahab's going to die. Well, they take Micaiah back. And Ahab, I know he's got this in the back of his mind, what's going to happen. So they go into battle, and he talks to Jehoshaphat. He's like, Jehoshaphat, I want you to dress up as the king. How would you like to have that kind of friend? He's like, Jehoshaphat, I want you to be the target. And he's like, I'm just going to dress up like a regular warrior, and I'm going to be out there in the battle, and I'm going to lead them from the front. It makes it look like that he's a brave guy. He knows. He's already been told he's going to die. His blood is going to be washed out at the same place that he had somebody killed, or his wife had somebody killed, Naboth. We didn't talk about that. But Naboth, he was killed for his property by Jezebel. And Ahab was excited about that. And he was told by Elijah, the same place that Naboth's blood spilled, your blood's going to be licked up by the dogs. And Ahab knew he had a target on his head. So they get into the battle. And the king of Syria has already told him, don't fight against anybody except the King of Israel. We're going to get rid of this guy. He's not going to be a problem for us anymore because we're going to take him out today. So that's who, what his soldiers were doing. They were fighting the battle. They see Jehoshaphat. They think he's the king. All of a sudden they start fighting, and then they realize that's Jehoshaphat. We don't have a quarrel with him. He's not the king of Israel. So they turn away and they start looking for the king. And the scripture says that it so happens that one guy, he just does a Hail Mary with a bow and arrow. Just pulls it back, lets it go. And it says it just happens. Let me tell you, when God's in control, it doesn't just happen. And Ahab had sinned, and time for him to be held accountable for his sins was at stake that day, and that arrow just happened to hit Ahab. Now, he's all armored up. It just happened to hit just right in his armor. And he starts crying to his chariot driver, "Get me out of here, I'm wounded." Well, by the end of the day, Ahab was dead. His blood had spilled out in the chariot, and it was being washed out in the place where Naboth's blood was spilled. And the dogs licked up Ahab's blood, just like the prophet said. And all the people of Israel, they went home and they were scattered. And they didn't come back in peace. They came back to destruction of Ahab's kingdom. Now, I bet you wonder, you know, how does all this apply to me? Well, there's a couple things I want to inform you of first, that God is sovereign. And nothing happens without God's permission and His sovereignty. Look with me in verse 19 of 1 Kings 22. It says, "And he said, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on His throne, and all the host of heaven standing by Him on His right hand and on His left." So God's in control. That's how it begins. God is on the throne. You know, we often talk about the direction our nation is going. Let me tell you today, God is still on His throne. America may be going to the gutter. God may not save America, but I believe that He still wants to save Americans. And God is still on His throne. And He is sovereign. So whatever it is that may happen, God is in charge. And He is sovereign. Nothing will be done without His approval. Whatever happens in your life will not be done without God's approval. Whatever happens in my life will not be done without God's permission. Whatever happens to the United States of America will not happen without God's permission. God allowed President Obama to be elected. He allowed President Trump to be elected. For better or for worse, whatever you think. You may have been against one for the other. You may be against both of them. You may be for both of them. God is the one who sets the person in place, and He controls the heart of the king. And that way you can know whatever's happening in your life, it's not going to happen without God's permission. But let me plug this in. You and I have access to the throne of God. And we are commanded to stand in the gap for those who may be going through a hard time. It may the difference that it makes may be what you do on your knees in front of the throne of God. Have you ever thought about that? God is sovereign. It's not going to happen without His permission. But you can see here, nobody's begging for Ahab's life. In fact, Micaiah, he's already told him, this is what's going to happen. He's not going to beg for something God has already determined in his life. Elijah's not standing there. He's like, "Man, Ahab, you are so bad. I'm ready for you to go. I'll pray for you maybe. But you need to change your ways. And I want God to put godly people in charge. I want God to help those who say that they're Christians to act like Christians. And to recognize God is sovereign in our lives." Can you imagine if you could realize that fact, that God is sovereign in your life, and that the things that He allows to mess with you have to go through Him? But if you're living wickedly, if you're living in sin, and you're allowing the Benadads and simple ways to react in your life, and that's what you live by? You think God's going to say, well, I guess I'll give you a hundredth chance, when He's already given you chance after chance and He's sent all of His prophets? You remember what all has been going on in Ahab's life as God has been trying to get him back? What would you do if you saw fire fall down from heaven? Would you act differently? Would you live your life differently? Ahab saw this and he did not change. The prophets of God had come around and told him, Syria is coming. This is how you defeat them. And he defeats Syria. And he says, they're coming back at this time next year. Prepare. And he defeats Syria again because he's listening to God's men. And all of a sudden, during this lull, he takes somebody's property that doesn't belong to him because he's a murderer. And he doesn't mind sin in his life. You know, when we allow sin in our life, don't expect God to just sit back and just let it keep going. He's gonna allow some obstacles to come. He'll allow some things to come in to try to drive you back. But if you refuse to be drawn back, he'll allow Satan to destroy you. The Apostle Paul would even say that one day. You remember that? He was talking about one of the guys that was against him, and he says, I have turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. Paul was saying, I'm tired of that guy working evil in the presence of God's people and turning their hearts towards wickedness. It's time for that guy to go. And I'm not praying for him to be saved. I'm praying for him to be taken out. I have turned him over to Satan. And that is what's happened to Ahab. And a God allows that. He allows people to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh if they will not repent. God's people need to repent. God allows lying spirits to influence others. And you know, if you're already working for the devil, it is easy to believe the lie. You're living the lie. Those guys that are working for the devil, they're liars. The scripture will tell us that the devil is the father of those lies. And when we associate ourselves with them, well, we're going to believe it. We may not understand why it all happens, but God allows it. You know, Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You know what? There's some things that we're not going to understand. But I could tell you, if you're living a sinful life, don't expect God to bless it. Expect that God's going to fight against you, that you have made yourself an enemy against God when you live in unrighteousness. Now let's think about this prophet for a second. 400 to 1. That's what he was up against. That was the obstacles against him. 400 to 1. 400 false prophets, 1 righteous prophet, 400 liars, 1 telling the truth. Jehoshaphat, he knows the truth. He knows those guys are false prophets. He knows that they're liars from everything that they do. And he knows he can't trust them. God's man comes on the scene. And you know what Jehoshaphat does? He goes with the liars because they're more. They appear to be more. Jehoshaphat is a... Look at verses 5 through 8 with me in chapter 22. It says, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, and let not the king say so. And Micaiah came over, and he spoke the truth, but Jehoshaphat went with the group. He went with what looked like the majority. Now, I will tell you that Jehoshaphat did learn his lesson from this. Because we read in verse 49, look over at verse 49 real quick. Because Ahab's son will ask the same thing. It says, then said Ahazah, the son of Ahab, to Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in ships. But Jehoshaphat would not. Jehoshaphat realized, you know what? I can't trust Ahab's kids anymore. They're bad news. I'm not getting involved with what they're doing. He learned his lesson. That's good. It's good if we can learn our lesson. If we ever make a bad decision, that we can learn from it. And not turn back to those type of getting mixed up with the wrong crowd anymore. Though we need those that help support us in growing our Christian faith, growing our standards in our living, living towards holiness and righteousness, and turning from the wickedness. Not those who bring us down and draw us back into such condemnation with God. Learn that lesson. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 will say it like this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Verses to live by there. Don't be unequally yoked. Not in marriage, not in business relationships, not in the things that you do, the hobbies that you do. You can have acquaintances, yes, but don't be yoked up with those people. They're not your best buds. They're not your BFFs, as they would say today. That's not who you need. You need people that are going to make you stronger in the Lord, not weaker. That draw you close to God and a relationship with Him, not that pull you away into a sinful environment. Don't be unequally yoked. Now, I want to give you some tips before we close today about how to detect that lying spirit. The thing that made Ahab to believe the lie, that made him misunderstand God's sovereignty, the thing that distracted Jehoshaphat, that caused him to follow after Ahab's thoughts rather than righteousness, is if they could have just detected that lying spirit. Let me give you some tips about it. Look in verse 6 with me. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 6, it says, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. We know that was a lie. But what they were doing is that they were doing just like they did when Elijah invited them up to the mountain. When they were supposed to sacrifice, because that's what they were doing. They were doing a sacrifice just like that. They were doing their little dance. They were jumping on the altars. One even made the irons. They act religious. But they were not. They act religious. But they were false. They weren't following the God that's described in this Bible. They were following something else. If they had been in our day, they may say, I am a Christian, but not really live like a Christian. They may even go to church, but they don't get involved in it. They just want to look righteous. They don't want to be righteous. They're living a lie. Look at verse 8 with me. It says, and then the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Is there yet one man? There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, and he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. They hate. See, lying spirits, they hate and falsely accuse the righteous. You see, Ahab was falsely accusing Micaiah because Micaiah told him the truth about what was going to happen to him. And he hated it. He hated him to tell the truth. You know, I've talked to a ton of preachers, and they say when somebody's thinking about getting a divorce, what they do. They know that it's wrong, what is going on is wrong. But they go, they feel obligated because they've been going to church for a while. They think, oh, I need to go talk to the preacher about it. But when they show up, they've already made up their mind about what they're going to do. They don't want to hear what the preacher's going to say. They want somebody who's going to tell them what they want to hear. And Micaiah was standing his ground, and he said, I will not just tell you what you want to hear, Ahab. I will tell you what God has told me to tell you. I will speak the word of God to you in truth. A lying spirit does not like that. They hate the truth. And they falsely accuse those who would speak it. Let me give you another tip. Look at verse 12. It says, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. All those prophets did. The majority, it looks like that's what they want to do, that that's the right way to do it. They look like the majority. You know, it's very interesting when you read the scriptures, that the scriptures talk about a remnant often, doesn't it? Who's going to go to heaven? The remnant. Jesus would say, wide is the gate that leads to hell, but narrow is the way that leads to righteousness, and few there be that find it. The majority is not the way to follow. If the majority are doing it, you should probably take that step back. Double check. When I was in the Air Force, the majority did whatever it is that they want, however it is they wanted to do it, but there was few. I don't think I hardly ever, every now and then I would work with another Christian, somebody who would actually say that they're a Christian. The majority were not. And that was the case. That seems like it's been the case everywhere I've been. I hope it's not the case now. But whenever you get out there, that's the way it's going to be. Well, if everybody's doing it, it's okay, right? No. That means that there's a lying spirit problem. And you should see, what is it they're doing? Is what they're doing lining up the scriptures? If it's not, it's a lying spirit. Don't go there. They'll tell you what they want to hear. Verse 13, that's what that says. We've already read that. Verse 24. Look at verse 24. It says, but Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? You see, a lying spirit will do unrighteous things. Didn't even want to hear him out. Didn't want to even listen to what he said. Just came up and just, he was saying something that guy didn't like and just slugged him. Because he was speaking God's truth. He did, and that wasn't the only unrighteous thing that he was doing. He did many. That was just a symptom of the unrighteousness in that guy's life. They refused to listen to the people of God. This guy did not want to listen to God's man and wanted to shut him down. Didn't want him to be able to speak. Do you understand why God's men don't get a lot of publicity on TV? CNN's not inviting them to their show. ABC's not inviting them to their show. NBC. But you get those other guys, they'll give them all the time that they want. When they march for life, oh, tons of air time to show. Oh, all these people support abortion. But they don't show that there was actually a larger march for those who were pro-life. Give them about 30 seconds. Oh, yeah, they had something going on. Don't give them any time of day. You see, that's what a lying spirit does. Wants to shut them down, shut down the truth. Doesn't want you to hear it. They absolutely refuse to listen to the true people of God. And then they will even try to change the subject. You try to reason with them, change the subject. Ahab, you're going to die. Where'd the Spirit go? Where did the Spirit come that told me to just slug you? See, try to change the subject. You ever had that happen to somebody, to you? You're trying to witness to somebody, and then they start bringing up all this crazy stuff. They're trying to change the subject because they got a lying spirit inside of them. They even want to disguise themselves. Look at verse 30. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into battle. But put thou on the robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. You see, they want to try to hide. Especially if they know the truth is coming for them. He even wanted Ben-Hadad to believe a lie. He wanted him to believe that, oh, Jehoshaphat's the king of Israel. Go after him and try to hide himself. Because he had a lion spirit inside of him too. They want people to come to their destruction. Look at verse 37. It says, so the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. The devil wants to destroy you. If you're living in sin today, if you're doing wicked works, if you're thinking about doing wickedly, know this, that the devil is after you. He seeks to steal, kill, and destroy you. He does not want you to be successful in God's eyes. You know what successful in God's eyes means? That means that you're righteous and you're holy. It may even mean that you be a martyr, that you be a witness for Jesus Christ until the day of your death. That's what God would want from you. The devil wants to destroy you. He never wants you to be there. He wants you to believe the lie. He wants you to live the lie. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to break your family apart. The covenant that you made with your spouse, he wants you to break it. He wants to destroy it. He wants to injure your heart, and he wants to injure the heart of your children forever while they're alive. He wants to destroy that part of you. And that's not the only place. He works in your life because he wants to cause hurt, and he wants to cause pain, because he knows if he can make you hurt, that he can rule over you, because hurting people often hurt others, and it'd just be a vicious cycle. And he's like, oh yeah, they're working for me. They have become a lying spirit for me, and they are working wickedness in their life, and God's never going to be able to use them because they are mine and they're working for me. Look out for those lying spirits. They're after you. They're after me. They're after your children. They're after my children. John, 1 John 4 and verse 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You realize God wants you to try the spirits. This is how you try the spirits. You know God's word. You've applied it to your heart. The scripture will say, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? But by God's word. You've got to put it in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not turn against you. See, the devil's after you. He wants you to believe the lie. This is the truth. You don't have to believe me, but you need to believe this. And it's telling you the truth. The devil's a liar, and he wants to destroy you, just like he did to Ahab. And he was after Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat almost got caught up in the lie and destroyed himself. Hey, beware of what the devil's trying to do in your life. Be on the lookout for him. Be weary. Be on guard. Be vigilant, the scriptures will tell us. Try those spirits to see whether they are of God or not. The song leader and the pianist would come. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this message that's recorded in your word about how you allow those lying spirits to come into people's lives that are wicked and they have rebelled against you. Lord, let us not be like that today. If you search us, O God, and see if there's any unclean way within us, and cleanse us from our sins. Help us to turn from our wicked ways and to acknowledge you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, would you protect our hearts and our minds? Lord, would you protect our families? All all those that are under the sound of my voice today, Lord, help them to see the how important this is for their own life. Because the devil's no respecter of age. He wants to destroy everybody, and he wants to destroy their testimony. Lord, let that not be so today. But help us, Lord, to adhere to all your words, to seek your paths. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.